Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to this special and limited edition of Talk Straight on this day before New Year's Eve, this last Tuesday of 2020. Grateful for each and every one of you that has followed us throughout the year. We have about an hour tonight, and we encourage you to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. Grateful to entertain you for this abbreviated episode. But, you know, New Year's resolution. We've been talking a lot about urban American issues, and that's what we want to focus on. Traditionally, during this time of year, individuals commit themselves to resolving issues in their life over the last year or even the past years. Well, Talk Straight proclaims the following. Be it resolved that those most negatively affected by crime, miseducation, therapy, economic challenge, family breakdown, and social regression learn from the unusual experiences of 2020 and change their behaviors for themselves, their children, their families, and neighborhoods. So join us tonight in our discussion, New Year's Resolution for Urban America. 657-383-0944 is the number to call. If you're listening to us or watching via the Facebook live stream, feel free to post a question or comment there, and we'll integrate it there. And for the next hour, let's just have some dialogue, and we will tap in to see where you are and to make sure we include everybody that we possibly can here in this abbreviated episode. I know we probably missed some people because typically we run 2 hours. Individuals are looking to join us later. But 2020 is about gone. In fact, in another 2 days, we can kiss it goodbye. So what do you look forward to in 2021? Let's just begin with a little brief monologue there. Proverbs, the 29th chapter, verses 17 and 18, offers an instructive consideration for us all. It says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Suggests to us all that despite whatever's happened, we should give some consideration as to what is it that God is trying to tell us, where is he leading us in this next 12-month cycle. That would be very, very helpful. Well, let's just recap 2020 for a second. The year 2020, while unsettling to most people, has offered an opportunity for those who are part of the urban America sector to reflect on some needed changes. Yeah, we said it was very bad, but one good thing about it is it hopefully jolted us into a certain reality. We began by expressing condolences to all those families who lost loved ones and due to COVID and any other situation. We hold hope for businesses that have been affected and suffered from lockdowns across the nation. We wish for better times for those who lost their jobs, found themselves in unemployment lines, food lines and things of that nature, or in the midst of this national crisis that none of us asked for. However, specifically, I'd like to encourage urban American residents that long before COVID came around, found themselves silently unrecognized, suffering from specific social ills. And to take note of just a few of them and look at some of the factors, because it has been said that when some people catch a cold, others are going to get double pneumonia. And the reality is that if we enter a race and I start late, I can't expect to end the race ahead unless I'm really, really fast. Okay? So what we just want to do briefly is look at some of those things. Interestingly enough, all across the urban American spectrum, and you know the last 4 years we've identified what our footprint is in those major cities. While everybody was expected to be locked down and at home and social distancing and being safe, when you look at it, the crime rate across urban America, it didn't go down. And in fact, in many places, it went up. Most talented young people who normally would be in a safe environment at the school found themselves on the streets. And then too many of them across the nation have lost their lives. When it comes to the education of children in urban American cities and homes, prior to COVID-19, there were children who were at least 2 years behind in reading and math and other across the curriculum. They struggled, and people were crying and making noise about the need to focus on that. School districts and federal government and state trying to come up with different fixes, but seemingly nobody had the urgency. But now we find ourselves in major cities, young people in learning, some schools literally closed down. Understandably, the aim is to try to keep everybody safe. But sadly, at the end of the day, those children who were already behind academically, and in some states they're calling to excuse teacher accountability measures, determine how well the children have learned. Well, you'll lose them even further. And that's something that got a lot of parents frustrated, angry, and in the pickle. Right? They struggle with that. This is a national issue now. But what it does, though, it brings to light the importance of every parent to be focused on having a plan for your children's education in school and out of school, to be organized in such a way that they can be supportive to families and making sure that children have a safe, structured place to learn and to grow and develop themselves academically. You've heard me talk about that. It's a trick to it, right? You just got to have a will to do that. Then health disparities. COVID cases highlighted for us a very unfortunate reality that existed, particularly in the African-American community, for a long time. And I have to be honest and talk, include me in these statistics. We have some pre-existing conditions that we have to be cognizant of. What do you mean, doctor? High blood pressure, diabetes, heart conditions, even what we have seen more and more, especially with engagement with law, undiagnosed mental health issues. These disparities have existed for a long time. We've ignored them. But at least COVID has pushed us in the corner and forced us to realize that when this virus affected some, it didn't bother them as much. But for many African Americans, particularly in a certain age group or with certain severities of conditions, they were had a hard time. That's a lesson to learn. That's a lesson to learn because moving forward, we all pray that COVID moves on. We get over it. We still have to look at the fact that our social habits, our diet, and our attitudes toward health certainly need to change. Then we look at economic challenge. Now, interestingly enough, over the last 4 years, the economic matrix of America has indicated in employment and business development for minorities in particular, that minorities, African Americans and Hispanics, have had greater gains economically over the last 3.5 or soon to be 4 years than ever before in history. In fact, they dated back to around 1950 or so. And what they demonstrated is that because of certain policies, many people took advantage of it. Now, many people screamed for years that this is what we need in order for there to be an equal playing field. So more entrepreneur opportunities than ever before. But with the COVID-related restrictions and shutdowns, guess what? A lot of those people that started out along the way struggled in the last 3 or 4 years. And many of them sadly closed their doors. The question is, will PPP and things of that nature help bring them back? I would just encourage you that we should never stop and never give up on your dream and your success. There have been people who put their whole life savings into their business ventures with the hopes of being able to just provide for themselves and maybe give back to society, particularly in urban America. So it's not just a white-black thing, but it's a matter of a mindset to be an entrepreneur and things of that nature. Family breakdown, we have seen too often. Now, interestingly enough, every year, several of our guests have shared this with us, during Christmas and during Thanksgiving, those times of year when you expect people to come together, be happy, to be unified, in many cases, this goes across the ethnic lines. There were a lot of issues where families came together and people fell out with each other, literally fought and killed one another. There's a story recently I was reading an article where a young man got upset and killed his loved one there, family member, right? Well, people are feeling isolated from family, and elderly people in nursing homes and places like that don't have visitors, and they feel as though they're by themselves. Many of them have passed on from different reasons, for different reasons, some of them related to depression and loneliness. But that tells us that we have to make sure that we look out for our family. And even after COVID is gone, especially during the winter, during the holidays, if you haven't been by to see your people, you need to do so. You need to make sure you do so. These days like these would let us know that nothing is promised to us. You know, there's no telling when we're going to lose a loved one. People were not able to be there with their loved ones for funerals and things of that nature. Again, the hope is that this will pass, but when it does, let's take this opportunity to reflect on that as we make a resolution for the coming month and year. Lastly, social regression. What we have not seen is a major decrease in things like drug overdoses. Unfortunately, they've been consistent, roughly. And there are a lot of people who we've seen take the streets in protests, and riots, and frustration, and anger. Our young people now seem to be more frustrated and angry about things that they oftentimes can't fully articulate why they are, right? And we see more strife in terms of tensions between races and what have you. At some point, we were doing pretty good, and people were able to share with one another and show love and respect, but that seemed to be going out the window now. I mean, but there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for us all to be reflective, right? We should embrace our teachers in public schools while at the same time partnering with parents such that they are working together as a team to educate our babies. That's the most important end, that our children get what they need, right? I believe that's what we all want. I think that's what we all want. All right. Well, with that being said, we're going to listen to this preacher. And as we reflect on the last year and we go to the phone lines, we've got three callers in with us here. And but give us just a second. 657-383-0944 is the number to call. Again, we have an abbreviated show tonight. Bishop Paul Morton said it like this. Listen to him just for a second. You listen to Talk Straight. Tonight we're talking from the topic, New Year's Resolution. We'll open up the phone lines to you as we talk from the topic tonight. New Year's resolution for urban America. We've got St. Louis in with us here. We've got our friend out of New Orleans, Louisiana, and Selma, Alabama. Gentlemen, welcome to Talk Straight tonight. And we just going to catch up to you for the next 40-some minutes. And y'all talk to me about it. What y'all think about? What can we do moving forward the next year?
First of all, Doctor, I want to say I'm glad you're all right, though. When I heard about that incident on Christmas Day in Nashville, I thought about you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
And I'm glad it wasn't you. That was the person. That was all that I was concerned.
Well, you know what? I ain't quite gone that crazy yet, darling.
Now, the second thing, I like the original version of Paul Martin's Won't Have to Cry No More. I know all Paul Martin, his wife, knew him all real well. And I like the original version when he did that. But thirdly, I'm not as, I don't see it as gloom and doom as it relates to what you call urban America. I do think what we have in our respective locations throughout the United States, we have very conscious black people who are doing things in their communities. There are those who are taking up the challenge on starting independent schools and so on and so forth. I think that what's important for us to do is not to become mentally and psychologically identifying with a lot of these crazy white folks in this heartland, because they're losing it. And for black people to try to find some sort of psychological common comfort with these white folks, mean you're going to go crazy too. I often listen on this Blog Talk forum at many different programs, particularly the programs that identify themselves as patriots. And I just roll on the floor laughing of how they just try to convince themselves of this and that. It is pitiful and sad. And I think that it is positive that we're going to be going into a new phase of a new presidential administration. Not that they're going to save people's lives and help, but we're not going to have all this foolishness like we had for the last 4 years coming out of the highest office of the land with disgrace. So I think there's some positive things on the horizons. And once again, we have to be the ones to really make the change in our respective neighborhoods and communities across the land.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hear from the other gentleman down here. Thank you for joining us tonight there. What about it there, Senator Lewis? And Don, we're coming right to you, sir.
Well, regarding what?
Well, really,
the year in the past.
Yes, sir. And some of the things that have been highlighted. I pointed out some things in the monologue about some things highlighted that were existing before COVID, and they've only been highlighted as a reality. And there's an opportunity for the African American community in particular to take notice of that and then make some improvements as a resolution in that year. So what do you think about that? You might not agree with that. But I think
I've told you before, you talk about the African American community. I think
right.
Just like anything else, you can only get so much out of something.
Okay.
An internal combustion engine is going to be about 40-45% efficient.
Okay.
Solar cells, about 15% efficient. Hydroelectric, about 90% efficient. And anything else, whereas you're dealing with an array of people from all different perspectives, because regardless of the mythical pseudo reality that people try to cast upon a societal group, they're not the same.
Okay.
And that's a reality that certain small segments like to portray. And if it was so, why is it that after so many decades, actually century, that this conversation is continuing to go on with certain small segments? And the uses of the same old excuses, which is nothing more than an alibi, it's an alibi.
Okay.
As to why something go on, and it has no credence whatsoever. So that's just the. I hear what you're saying, but there are wonderful things going on.
Absolutely.
People just don't talk about it.
That's true too.
Hey,
that's
the stock market. I know people that's made as much as $300,000 or $400,000 since April of this year.
Sure.
While others stand around waving their fists, lips poked out, snarling and growling, and talking about what somebody won't let them. So you never want to let your children. That should be a pledge for the upcoming year. Don't let your children fall prey of somebody else's excuses why they did not. Progress.
Okay.
Therefore, they want to hold everybody else back along with them.
Okay. Great point.
I'm glad to hear you didn't go up and smoke down there in Nashville.
It wasn't me, man. The po-po that did, I mean, from what is being told, reported, basically, it's rough, man. People, you don't know when the next person is going to lose it because you don't know what kind of pressure people are on and that sort of thing. So that's a tough thing, but. Thank you all. I appreciate that. No, we were.
Well, some of them give you a hint about what they say. We just got to pay attention. But anyway.
You know, the thing that is, well, and that's the thing I talked about earlier. I'm going to bring you in, Don, with mental health illness. There are a lot of people with undiagnosed issues of depression and things of that nature at various levels. And even their family members can't do anything about it until something happens. And oftentimes it's too late then. You know what I mean? So.
Well, you're absolutely right, because under the 50 so different categories of what's called mental health, lingering oppression.
Yeah.
Lingering oppression is one of them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We hear that a lot of times. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm standing
well,
by.
Tight. Let me bring Don in here. How you doing, Brother Selma? How are they treating you in Selma? Can you hear us, Don? Okay, maybe he's got his phone muted there. Don, if you can hear us, we recognize you out of Selma, Alabama. But until he comes back, gentlemen. So I appreciate what both of you gentlemen are saying. I think there's a lot of truth to both of what you're saying. And each individual has to ask themselves, as an American citizen, what is the quality of life I want? And secondary to that, what must I do to secure that? And that's really where I would think that our energy should be focused as we move forward. I mean, what we can't stop is that the next days are going to bring a new annual cycle. You follow what I'm saying? And so the real question for each of us is, what are we going to do to secure the quality of life for ourselves, our families, our neighborhood? Does that make sense in New Orleans? What do you think about that?
Well, I did a show, and the title of the show is called Black No More Whitening Vaccine. And the point was, if there was a vaccine to make you white, would you take it? Why not? And what type of blacks or other non-whites you think would take that? You should go listen to that show. I had a panel where we talked about that. One of the things I said was, we talked about skin bleaching creams and people in different parts of the world using skin bleaching creams and black people having problems with their physical identity. But I said it's not so much those blacks who are concerned about the physical component of themselves, in as much as you have blacks who articulate racist positions against black people, they're going to be the first ones to stand in line to take it, because there's going to be two dosage. The first dose makes the skin lighter than what you are, and the second dose makes it completely identical to a white European. And so there were certain type of blacks that I indicated that I think would be going to stand in line to get that vaccine, and I encourage those kind of blacks who really want to be white to take that vaccine and get it over with for themselves. So the issue, the answer to your question is, people got to have knowledge. People have to have knowledge about themselves. People got to see what's real in the world in front of their eyes. People have to see how groups of people work together as distinct groups and see themselves distinct from others, and that becomes their economic competitive advantage over other groups.
All right. All right. Well, we got about 31 minutes, and I want to try to get us all in. Naturally, your premise is based on a fictionary basis, because there's no such thing as a shot that you can take to become white. Interestingly enough, during the Harlem Renaissance era, one of the writers, George Schuyler, wrote a book entitled
"That Was Mentioned." I mentioned that in the beginning of the show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And,
I mentioned
and
that.
You're familiar with the fact that, you know,
black no more. I talked about that before I let the panelists speak about George Schuyler's book. But we do have a part where you could take creams and pills to turn your skin lighter, and people around the world are using that, damaging their skin. In fact, I played a little news clip on my show that in Asia, they're spending $20 billion a year to be whiter, white. And
how many folk you know, Negro, black, that's trying to take anything to do with it? Really, come on, man. How many you know? Give me a number. I'm just saying.
I can hear you. I'll be here.
I said, how many people do you know that are interested in engaging in such behavior? I'm just curious. We do know
that the synthetic fake hair industry is very big in terms of black women consuming that wherever they are. We do know that's a very big, that's a $1 billion industry as well. But also, as I said on the show, we also have black people whose political mindset is that of a white person. They identify with racist anti-black attitudes, and that they will be the ones to go stand in line to take a dose to make themselves identically white European.
If there was such a thing that existed, which it doesn't, but I take your point. I take your point. This is a hypothetical scenario that you create.
Right. It was a lighthearted discussion. It was a lighthearted discussion to touch on some very serious issues that do exist.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And it does speak to the whole issue of heritage and identity, culture, and even ethnic traits and so forth. So I appreciate where you're coming from with that. Don, you there? Okay. St. Louis, I think you, that was a point where you were in agreement with New Orleans relative to where we are and moving forward in the next year. There's some things we have to take on ourselves, some responsibilities. Now, regardless of who's in the White House, your life should be guided and directed by your own dictate and your own interests, right? And you set the quality of their life for you and your children. And frankly, there are a lot of things that have been going on that people ignored, that they could not help but to acknowledge during this COVID situation. And I don't want to make excuses. I don't want to give up any reason to sit down and point the blame at anybody other than myself. So if we're going to take that antidote, what would that look like, St. Louis, in 2021? What's first thing?
Well, I think that people should support those like values and like interests. I don't believe in what they call a black yellow pages, because everything in there is not to your values and not to your interests. So you shouldn't support it. It doesn't make sense. We've seen time and time again, a read of things that the individuals that you bring along with you are actually working against your cause. And I'm sure that you could make reference to that yourself.
Yeah.
So, no, people should gravitate to those of that serves a similar interest in their agenda, and go ahead and work with that.
Yeah.
You know, I hear these remarks of, I hear these remarks about what people decide to do with their bodies.
Uh-huh.
And that's human nature. That's what human beings do.
Correct.
You know, the countless times and years I spent in the northeast corner of Africa, going in and out of temples, tombs, and pyramids, and museums, especially there in the Cairo Museum, where it's over 100,000 pieces of artifacts, you see wigs. And you also see hair extensions.
Okay.
And you see women that's depicted in paintings that's putting hair extensions in other women's hair and palming them.
Okay.
So that's what people want to do. That's a person's body. You know, something wrong with somebody else when they make mention that a person who is freely at their own will to do as they want and they complain about it. That's them.
So
I'm not talking to you, sir.
No, I'm just asking. That's it. You would take the vaccine?
No, I'm not talking to you.
Like, sound like you would go stand in line and rob them and take the vaccine.
You stop interrupting. It seems like you a grown man over 60 years old. You would have learned that by now. It's not polite to do that.
Hold on, gentlemen. Let's bring it back home. I
apologize to the gentleman that's over 80 years old. And it is my bad. I should show more respect to my elders.
So your point, your basic point, St. Louis, was that people should have a choice and a right to express themselves as they see fit.
They do. When you hear people making mention that I hope, well, that's an indication that they have no control over their destiny.
Okay.
Out of all the hundreds of buildings that I've erected, I never hoped – that everything would go all right. We made sure that they went the way they were supposed to.
But St. Louis, you recognize that there are a lot of people who haven't had the benefit of success as you have. They haven't been able to articulate a goal for themselves and have the wherewithal to work toward and seeing it to fruition. Not that they're a bad person, but that this has not been their position or their fate. And that's really what
we're
talking about. How can
I understand that.
All right, go ahead.
I understand that the truth be told is that if a person have never experienced any failures, they can't comment on failure. They can only comment on successes. Because one failure could either be life-threatening, it could be costly. And when you cause others to lose, they don't want to be around you no more.
Well,
so there's a lot, there's a lot riding on your reputation based on past performances that precede you as you go down the road. So that's just the way it is. People should look at successes and compliment those successes. We was talking about the Nigerians today, that their educational attainment, multi-degree, their household income greater than Asians and whites, yet they're black as Wesley Snipes, and you don't see them griping, protesting, marching, and singing chants, age-old chants. So there's something to be learned there. Would you agree?
There's certainly a different experience, for sure. There's a different social.
Yeah, that's because there's multiple cultures in this country, even within the group you call black, there are multiple cultures. And you see blacks who don't want to have nothing to do with cultures, like those who was living in Ferguson in 2014, a little bit before. They fled when they seen what was coming, as they fled when they was living in northern St. Louis City. They fled, then they had to flee again. So that's just the reality of things.
Well, give me 1 second. I want to hear from my brother here out of New Orleans. Just bear with us there for a second. So, New Orleans, in the context, you were suggesting that there is a need to not embrace, you said whites, but other ideas and focuses, but to have your own. If you will, speak about that a little bit. How do we give us some guidance as to how you would go about doing that in 2012? What suggestions might you have? And we got Pastor Walker.
Well, when we go back to Carter G. Woodson's book, Miseducation of the Negro, in that particular quote, he was criticizing the blacks who had gone to college and how they were incapable of helping the Negroes are developing innovative ideas to address their situation because they had become so indoctrinated and thinking like Europeans. So therefore they were useless to the group. And so that in order to be a leader, an effective leader, that leader must have knowledge. With knowledge, you're able to navigate and organize people because you understand yourself and other people. Remember Sun Tzu's quote in The Art of War. And the problem we have, the challenge we have in urban America, we have very little people of knowledge and substance, but yet they want to be spokespersons, yet they want to be organizers, but in essence, they don't know anything. And so we must seek knowledge like a religion. We must learn from others. We must read. We must study, because you cannot lead people effectively if you yourself don't know.
That's true. That makes sense. Okay. All right. Let me do this. We only got 20 minutes. We have abbreviated show tonight. And let me just say before I bring Pastor Wally in, This will be our last show for the year. We'll be back on the 5th, on the first Tuesday in 2021 for our regular 2 hour session. But I think that's a powerful point, New Orleans, that it's important that leadership be knowledgeable, be equipped, be qualified. You know, let's the blind lead the blind, they both gonna find the ditch. I think you made a good point.
Can I also say this, Will?
Yes, sir. Right.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Right.
One of the things I will admit about an element of what we call urban America is that there's a disdain for scholarship and learnedness.
Yes.
Now, anybody who knows me know that I'm either always on an airplane going to a different country, or if they see me waiting at Walgreens for a prescription, I have a book in my hand. I'm reading. I'll never forget, I went to a cafe not too long ago, and at this cafe, there's the black lady, very nice lady. She's a cook. And she would see me. She said, oh, you're a reader. You're a reader. You know, I said, well, I better be a reader, because for so long my folks were forbidden to read and write, so I better be a reader. We have a disdain for knowledge. And so a leader must always be like in prayer. Like you're in prayer, you must always be into studying. And that way, there's a saying, and I said this before, it's a hadith. It's a saying from the Prophet Muhammad. One learned man is harder on the devil than 1,000 ignorant worshipers. So when somebody comes to you with bull crap, they can't get over with you on that because you're a learned person. And we need to seek to be learned.
All right. I can't argue with you there. Let's bring Pastor Wally in briefly. Pastor, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm all right. How you doing, Pastor Tucker?
All right. Pastor Wallace in St. Louis said they were glad I wasn't the one that blew up the place downtown. I said, well, I'm glad. I looked, the first thing I did was look around for Pastor Wallace. I said, okay, he ain't in there either. So we're going to take him at it too, gentlemen. How are you, sir?
Hey, man. Yeah, go ahead. A lot going on, eh?
It is. And Pastor, we're about to go into another year, another annual cycle, you know. And, you know, we were talking about the New Year's resolution. But specifically, I identified what that should look like for urban America. And, you know, we've identified our geographic footprint, certain cities that have certain social ills and have had them for years. What can we do to... We can't erase yesterday, Pastor, but moving forward, some stuff we can do if we're honest about it and realistic. What say you?
I mean, learning is a powerful tool coming from the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, teachers right. Learning, you know, a student is willing to be open and all that. Being a student as I was, I learned a lot. Didn't learn at all, but I learned a lot from street life. And realized I was bound by it. So when I got free, I realized I needed some instructions, some written instructions, you know. And because street life didn't give me that. It gave me instructions, but they were not written instructions. That's why the trap was so strong. But here's the key to it for me. I have to deal with what the Word says. The Word said, this is the day that the Lord has made. And He tells us to rejoice and be glad in it. So, in spite of what's going on, I utilize the power of knowing who is today. And that's what I have to lean on, because, Pastor, if I do anything any different than that, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to go ahead of myself. I'm going to be ahead of myself so far to the point where I won't even realize that I'm trusting myself again. And then I can be so far back, and I can do the same thing and still believe that I'm trusting myself. So what I have to always lean and depend on is what I've learned. You know, my partner who did 2 life sentences in prison, I remember him saying one day, you know, you have to move when the cloud moves. And the cloud has moved now. And so, you know, I couldn't move until it moved. And once it moved, I just decided to go with the flow. And that's when I came up with believing that the Lord made the dead. Didn't know it. Didn't see it in the Word.
Okay.
But later on, I found out, because I had faith enough to believe that somebody made this day, you know, and I knew it wasn't me. So it's a beautiful thing to know that I seen it in the book. You know, it was pinned in the book. I'm like, man, there it is right there, man. This is the day that the Lord has made. So I haven't seen no one can top that. I haven't seen no one can top that. Maybe somebody else has seen someone that can top that, and they will glorify and lift them up versus lifting the one up who made his day. So I have to keep that in mind at all times, because if I don't, I can easily be caught back into that trap again and start trusting in myself.
Okay.
So
okay.
I need a lot of things to talk about. Pin the,
All right. In these last 14 minutes for our dialogue in 2020, want to kind of summarize some things. Certainly this year has been very interesting, and I began it with a campaign educating parents about certain rights that they have and opportunities. And it was basically overcome and overshadowed by another distraction. And I've noticed over the years that when our people, Negro, Black, and Colored folk, African American, began to be focused and to start coming toward a central idea, there are a lot of instigations. There are a lot of things that overshadow that, and folks just lose interest and they lose focus. And before you know it, you find yourself slumped right back in the same position. I wonder if that's because, gentlemen, we have not controlled the narrative of our forward progress. I wonder if that's what the issue is. And maybe that's something, if there was one thing I can recommend as a resolution, and that would be to control the narrative of your quality of life going into 2021. In these last 13 minutes, Don, you there, brother? Don, can you hear me? Call the one. Go ahead. Okay. In these last 13, Don, you there? Okay, sounds like you're trying to say something, but we can't quite hear you. You want to speak to that, controlling the narrative for your quality of life moving forward. And I know this may not apply to you all, gentlemen, but if you were to put yourself in the shoes of someone in these cities, these locales, these precincts that we've identified facing these similar issues, what recommendations would you offer them to control the narrative of their quality of life? Let's start with you, St. Louis.
Well, that may have been relevant in the past, but it's not now.
I see.
There's nothing stopping people from advancing themselves.
Okay.
Those who prescribe the circumference of your thinking control the diameter of your mind.
Okay.
And that shouldn't be done.
Okay.
So the things that you have available today, you can mold a child into an area that they otherwise wouldn't get under normal circumstances.
Okay.
We've said before that children should be directed and exposed to subjects that will bring about the neutering of the tutoring of their mechanical, electrical, and biological senses, the organic sciences, chemical and physics principles of how things work. That's something that should start off early.
Sure.
And let the child make their own history, not reading upon somebody else's written book, which oftentimes, as time go by, has been proven to be wrong.
Interesting. Okay, all right. Not to cut you off, but we want to try to get everybody in before we finish up here and wrap up 2020. All right, New Orleans, what say you to the position of controlling the narrative for your quality of life moving forward in a new cycle, in a new annual cycle?
Yeah.
Recommendation.
Yeah, thank you, Reb. I'll answer the question and stay with the topic. My recommendation to the person is to seek knowledge. And once you begin to ask questions about yourself and others around you, at that point, you become a leader. And in order to be an effective leader for your life by de facto others, seek knowledge. Again, I'm not a Muslim, but I do like some of the Prophet Muhammad saying. He says, he who leaves home in search of knowledge walks in the path of God. And he who knows his own self knows God. That the quest for knowledge must be that of a type of a religious undertaking. And that in order to help yourself, which in turn you help others, you do not look, think, speak disparagingly of the people you are part of. That when you talk disparagingly about black people, you are bitter. You are not happy. You have insecurities. That's what the person should know to control their own narrative. Have compassion towards your own. Love your own. Understand what brought them to where they are. And then you will be an effective person to lead and help them. And in helping others, you help yourself. But when you... when you accept other people's narrative about how no good you are, how immoral you are, and all the other stuff has been said about you, you are already a destroyed person, and you can't do nothing for nobody, much less yourself.
Okay. Well, I think that makes a lot of sense, man, because we've seen a lot of that. We have seen a lot of that in times, recent times. So, okay. That's why, what do you think about that? You've heard our dialogue over the year. You've been a part of it, man. What do you think about that in terms of controlling your narrative, what the conversation is going to be about your forward progress? I know it's not fair for me to really ask you that because you penned that in your latest book that came out in 2020, The Flip Side. But go ahead and, if you will, elaborate a little bit on that. That's while you're there? Okay.
I heard you properly. I wanted to make sure that if you run that back to me just brief enough, because I was just thinking about some things, but I want to hear what you was asking me again, if you will.
Well, simply, the question was relative to what recommendation would you give for those in urban America facing those challenges that we've discussed a lot this year and the years past, to control the narrative, the conversation about getting out of the trap, improving themselves, and starting with the next year.
You know what I've always, even when I was out there, you know, I still use the same, I would say, effective too, but just on the flip side now. And the thing, what I would like to say is just live each day for what it is and don't try to resist it. Because what I learned from that, my plans, I could plan to do something. And there's nothing wrong with that. But just in case it don't work out like I planned it, then I shouldn't beat myself up. You know, so I like to stay in the day and sure that I don't, again, get ahead of myself and try to make things go the way I want it to go, because I would be excluding the one who made this day. See, I've had enough. That's what a trap was for me, you know. I had knowledge, you know, wisdom, but it was worldly wisdom. It was worldly knowledge. You know, again, my partner said it best. He said self-knowledge. He said he thought that was all there he was to know. So he gained a lot of self-knowledge, but he ended up in prison for two life sentences, you know. And so what I appreciate about that is that he taught me something to make sure, you know, I always listen to the OJs. I've been doing it for many years. And they always have said, live each day for what it is and don't try to resist it. Because if I start trying to resist it, that means I'm taking full control of my destiny. And that's a danger for me. So I just want to stay humble and keep expecting, you know, that God will give me the guidance, the heart to do things that I can do and accept what I can't do. You know, there's some things that I'm unable to do. I have to learn to accept. But what I can do, I will put the effort and do the best I can with it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Time has gotten away from us. We got about 5 minutes before we wrap up. Don,
can I say one more thing there, Reb?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hold on one second, New Orleans. Don, right quickly, give me an idea for moving forward next year, right? About 30 seconds, Don. And then we were trying to catch you, but somehow we couldn't hear you in the past, earlier. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, my phone been blinking a little bit, but it's all right.
Okay.
Next year, what I see, Mr. Dockery, is this. I was called by a friend that worked with me and my father when he first ran for Congress. She called today. And I was asking her what was going on in Chicago and what's going on here. And she was saying what was going on there. And I said, it's going on here. But she said it's more vast in Chicago. She was telling me about 6 kids got shot. About 10 got shot. 6 died. She said they just up there shooting each other off the street just random.
Sure.
I don't know, what we going to, do with this particular I call it self-hatred of ourselves. I'm working on a formula on how to, I get our people to look at themselves more, part of the community of the world and quit looking themselves outside of the community of the world.
Good point. Okay. I hate to rush you, Don. We got about 4 minutes, and this is going to be our last. We only had 1 hour tonight that we were doing. But right quickly, New Orleans, and then we're going to wrap up our conversation for the year.
Okay. I just want to say this is the fourth day of Kwanzaa. So what we say is Habari Gani, which is like saying what's going on, and you respond with the principle. And the day's principle is Ujamaa, which is cooperative economics. And the book that I always refer young people to read for self-transformation and reinvention of yourself is Malcolm X, the autobiography of Malcolm X, are always good pieces of literature. A lot of these young black children want to read stuff about black people in the schools. They're not offered as they should be offered, but they want to see themselves in stories. So I recommend everybody, as I will do too, reread the autobiography of Malcolm X.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate that. Hate to rush everybody, but we have brevity is of essence here. I want to say that quickly, next year our two sponsors for this podcast are going to be Dockery Academy as well as the Dockery Agency, which is a insurance agency that provides auto, home, life, and business insurance. Those will be our two sponsors for next year, starting off. And we do hope to highlight some very positive, proactive things that we can show others how to replicate. So some of our guests we're going to be inviting will be individuals who have successfully pulled some things off that were of a positive nature that can be replicated. That's our challenge, is to bring that to bear in the next year. That's one of our things that we want to hope to do there. But with that being said, Pastor, I want to give us 30 seconds, close out before we leave. You've been listening to Talk Straight all year long. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Ethan Bacher, co-host with Pastor Ricky Waller. Gentlemen out of New Orleans, Warren, who has the show there out of New Orleans, Louisiana. Brother Don out of Selma, Alabama, and even St. Louis, he's left already. Peoria, Illinois, Jacksonville, Florida, Chicago, Illinois, Indianapolis, Detroit has joined us this past year. But we welcome you to stay with us Tuesday and Thursday nights from 7, typically to 9 p.m. is when we are on air. All right, Pastor, why don't you give us a brief
Hey, Pastor Doctor, I want to encourage you to continue to do what you have been doing, man. You're doing a great job. And thank all the people who have been a part of the listening audience and those who have a chance to make known of what they have in their hearts and how to go about coming together. It's a powerful tool. But it was something that I've learned, Pastor Doctor, and I just wanted to share with you right now, again, as I encourage you. And it talks about, remember also, Dr. Peter, in the days of thy youth, and you have a genuine concern about. You see what I'm saying? You say, before the days of evil come. So we got to get to the youth before the days of evil come, because when I found out about that, I see that I missed it. You know what I mean? I didn't get a chance to get hooked up with it while I was young. So it caused me to be able to look at it now and say, okay, why would you share that with me, Lord? You want me to make sure that I make the young know how important it is to get to know him while they're young, because when the days of trouble come, You don't want to just know him then. You want to know him before that takes place. But be encouraged and know that God got everything that you need already placed decently and in order. All he wants us to do is to lean on him, depend on him, and watch him see us through.
Step all right. With, three, with that, we'll see you on, yes, sir,
yes,
January 5th at 7 o'clock p.m. Thank you, Brother Pastor. January 5th, 7 o'clock p.m. Okay. We'll see you then for another episode of Talk Show. This show is Reverend Dr. Godfrey. We'll see you in the next year. Until then, peace.
Glory to God.